Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. The Olympics are already underway, even though the opening ceremonies don't begin until Friday in Tokyo. And as much anxiety as there is around these games, and as much debate as there is around whether or not they should even be taking place, I'm thrilled to see not only American athletes on my TV already, but to see athletes from all over the world who've battled through a lot of adversity and a lot of anxiety and a lot of extra testing and have gotten to Tokyo and are realizing their dreams. And I hope for their sake and for the sake of the joy that comes out of the Olympics every time, that we will support them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I've been talking about this now for a couple of nights. Really excited to welcome our very first guest from the Summer Games, and Jessica Mendoza. You're the perfect person to help us start with our coverage. A former gold and silver medalist in softball, longtime member of Team USA, working for NBC, covering both softball and baseball in Tokyo. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty awesome out here in Japan, and just finished our second round of games. It's been cool that softball, of all sports, you know, the best sport, of course, is batting leadoff for the Olympic Games.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the atmosphere, and then we'll talk about Team USA specifically, because they're off to a great start. Fans are not allowed. You look at the stadiums, even on TV, when there's a wide-angle shot, it reminds me of last year when sports returned. And I know, as someone who covers baseball and serves as an analyst for ESPN, you were in a lot of those stadiums. What's it like compared to, say, your Olympic experience when it was jammed with fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, especially here in Japan, where they absolutely love softball and baseball, you see these massive stadiums, and the one that they've been playing in Fukushima is huge, and you can't help but picture tons and thousands of screaming fans, you know, getting excited. We've already had big moments. Japan is also off to a good start. They went extra innings today, so just knowing their home country would be screaming and yelling. And you know, I think my biggest thing is sitting there in the stands is, you know, just kind of feeling that energy inside, which is, I know what the players are doing, but you're right, it is a flashback where you feel like the athletes have to create not really their own motivation, because let's be real, you're at the Olympics, you can't get any more motivated, but definitely that adrenaline rush when it's a big play and it's just like, you know, 15 people cheering.
Typically when fans or members of the media attend an Olympics, they talk about how hard it is to get around, the mob of people, because there are thousands and thousands who've descended upon that one particular region. What, in your experience so far, has it been like in terms of the number of people out and about with Tokyo in a state of emergency?
Yeah, I mean, we're in Fukushima, so we're 4 hours north of Tokyo. I was there for like a minute when I flew in. I'm actually in a van right now, headed back to Tokyo. And you know, so I don't know. I know with opening ceremonies tomorrow, it'll be interesting just to see if people are just at home watching on their TVs, if they're able to even go out on the streets and kind of cheer. But what I did see in Fukushima, which I think was interesting, you remember this is the 10-year anniversary of the massive earthquake that happened here in Fukushima that led to the nuclear meltdown, the tsunami, all the drama that was here. And this was supposed to be called the Recovery Games. So there was something very special about the fact that softball and baseball are the only sports that will be played in Fukushima on purpose. We're the furthest out, I think, of any sport being played, for a reason. And what I did notice is walking, you know, around and being, it's just how excited the people of Fukushima are because of the devastation they've gone through this last decade. They've been so hopeful with the Olympic Games. And even though they can't be in the stands, they are definitely around the streets cheering on not only their home country, but honestly just the sports and the athletes.
4 hours. That is quite a hike away from Tokyo.
Yes. No, I'm in the van right now heading back. And to be honest, it's awesome because you got to remember we're in like a soft quarantine for 14 days when we land. We're only allowed to be at our hotel and our venue. And so our crew that I'm here with, we kind of feel lucky because we've been able to see the country. I mean, 4 hours sounds awful, but not when you're in a foreign country that really, like, as I've probably been to Japan, you know, 20 times, and I've never seen this part of the country. Fukushima and the 4 hours between Tokyo and Fukushima in a van, right now I'm looking out the windows and seeing rice paddy fields and homes and people, and it's a great way to see the country when really you're not even allowed to leave your hotel room if I were back in Tokyo.
You're right. You're in a really cool situation. It's awesome that we can catch a couple of minutes with you while you're watching the Japan countryside go by. Jess Mendoza is covering both softball and baseball for NBC, and softball's already underway in Tokyo, and we're pleased to have her with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Great start for the U.S. already. A couple of really awesome pitching performances with Monica Abbott and Kat Osterman. How good does this team look to you so far?
You know, I think their pitching, you nailed it, is what looks the strongest. I mean, Monica and Kat, they're the only two members on the team that actually were in the last Olympic Games in 2008, both my teammates 13 years ago, and they're the veterans. They're carrying this team, but to be perfectly honest, the offense has been not what I expect. I have a high standard for the U.S. team, but I mean, they only pushed one run across Canada. A huge credit to Monica Abbott and the defense for keeping Canada to zero runs, but 1-0 is, you know, very tight. And then their opening game against Italy, which is a 6-seed here in Japan, they only scored 2 runs. And so, I hate saying a win's a win, but the offense is definitely going to have to pick it up, especially when they face the biggest competition in Japan here in a couple days.
Does it take some time to get adjusted to being in Japan, to getting back into competition when you get a team together and maybe they haven't played together in a while?
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing together. They've been here for a couple weeks, so I don't think it's so much that as much as it is they haven't played in Olympics, period.
Right.
This is a sport that was gone the last two Olympic Games. And, you know, talking with them all spring as they're playing, you know, college teams and traveling around the country, they were here playing professional Japanese teams at an army base here in Japan. And, you know, they said, you know, this feels like any international competition. But the moment they walked into the Olympic Stadium, and actually Kat Osterman turned to one of the young players fresh out of college, Jeju Mulapola, and said, hey, in 24 hours, you're going to be an Olympian. Mm. And I think those butterflies, those nerves that you've never dealt with before, and it's not just the U.S. team. I mean, we saw 7 hit by pitches in day one of the Olympic Games, and a lot of that had to do with, I think, just pitchers even, like, you know, just nerves. You know, like, how do you control the adrenaline and the emotions that come with something that it's been absent for 13 years?
3 consecutive gold medals for Team USA from 96, 2000, 2004, the gold medal team you were a part of, Jess, then again the silver in 2008. And as you say, no Olympic program in 12 or 16. And I just love the story of Kat Osterman. She's 38 years old. The majority of Olympians, not all of them, but the majority of Olympians are in their early 20s, some of them even teenagers. What does it mean to have her presence on the team as someone who can be a calming force for these first-time Olympians?
It's everything. And honestly, watching her opening day, I was laughing to her afterward. I'm like, why did you retire? I mean, you look as good as you've ever been. She was my roommate her rookie season and the years following that. So I knew her as a pup, you know, fresh out of high school, not even college then. And to see her as the old lady, she actually wears the number 38. She was number 8 for the first 2 Olympics that she played in, but Haley McClenney actually has that number. And so now she's taken on 38, which is her age, and the fact that this is her 3rd Olympics, so she added that 3 to her number 8. So there's some significance there, but just listening to her and the calm understanding, and honestly, the enjoyment. I mean, she was someone, because she was young, she took it so serious. She was so hard on herself, didn't really handle it. She got, you know, hit up or, you know, things didn't go her way. Like, sometimes just had a hard time with those emotions, which makes sense when you're younger. So now seeing her, she hit two batters actually in that opening day early in that game, then settled in and pretty much mowed everyone else down. And it's impressive because of her age, but also just her experience, what she brings to this U.S. team.
And then Monica Abbott, who is a few outs away from what would have been her second Olympic no-hitter, she's about to turn 36. And so even as you talk about the offense needing to find a groove and get into a rhythm, the veteran presence on the mound, that's so valuable for this team.
That's how they've gotten the wins. I mean, if they don't have Monica and Kat, and I'm not trying to negate anything else on this team, they've got two other phenomenal pitchers in Ali Carda and Rachel Garcia. But to have through these first few games where there's nerves, you're kind of out of your comfort zone, the veterans, the vets, 36, 38-year-old age, but really more importantly, the Olympic experience, something to be able to dip into and understand. Monica Abbott, in addition to playing in the Olympic Games, has played in Japan professionally for over 10 years.
Wow.
So there's a huge area of comfort of being here, playing here. This is a second home to her. So, I mean, you also add that to the experience that they have.
Jessica Mendoza is with us from a van on its way back to Tokyo in Japan after covering USA softball, and she's there for NBC, but of course is a former Olympian herself, a gold medal and a silver medal. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Where are your medals, Jess? What do you do with them?
Oh, you know, I just wear them every day and just kind of hang out. Just like, hey, look at me.
On TV.
Yeah, I'm a big deal. No, they're in a safe at home. I used to actually have them at a sock drawer forever when I first, like, fished my gold medal. I took it around to schools. That's what I did for a living off of that Olympics. I used to go around and speak to young kids and schools and clinics, and that was, like, what I did. And so I used it so much, used the medal and brought it with me so much, I would just throw it in my sock drawer in its little case. And then when I got married, my husband was like, okay, so we're going to actually find, like, an official place to put this. And so, it has a better home. But, yeah, it's in a safe place.
What do you remember about your Olympic experience, the emotions of representing the red, white, and blue?
You know, there's a lot. Definitely one, the sisterhood that you get. You kind of feel, and I'm sure even more now with COVID and just the isolation for a lot of these athletes, is you feel like it's you versus the world, even though you have, you know, your entire country with you, but you kind of get into these bubbles where, you know, you're training and traveling and working for something that you really will never again in your life combine with, you know, 15 other women to do, 15 other people to work that hard for one common goal. I mean, there's not many jobs that you do that with, to that level and the amount of time and energy that it takes. And so there's a bond that happens, and it's been cool to see not only, you know, my teammates, Monica and Kat, but also the coaching staff has Laura Berg, Chariah Flowers, Kelly Crutchman is also here. You know, these are women that, you know, we battled together with. We laughed, we loved, we cried after we lost in Beijing. Mm. So you share a lot with them. And then, you know, with the rest of the country and the pride that you have.
The softball not being part of the last couple of games was a blow. I'm so glad that it's back. But in terms of your experience and knowing how much it's meant to you on that international stage, how did you feel about that? And also now that it's returning.
Yeah, I mean, it's special. There's a reason why I'm here. I mean, I work for ESPN, you know, is my main job, but I'm blessed that my company allowed me to come here with NBC. And a big part of that was, look, the last time I played in the Olympic Games, we lost to Japan in the gold medal game, and then there was no more. We had no idea softball would ever return. It's not going to be in Paris. So this is a moment in time for a sport that I grew up playing, has created the life that I have now. It's a huge part of my identity. So I wanted to be here in Tokyo and to be able to watch not only our team, but the entire sport, all the countries, the six countries that are here, compete at the Olympic Games again.
Awesome. So then what is your schedule moving forward? Are you going up and down the road again to watch softball?
Yeah, so they played the first 2 days in Fukushima, and now they get the day off because everyone's traveling back to Tokyo today, Yokohama actually. So Yokohama, which is more 45 minutes, an hour outside of Tokyo, is where the remainder of the games, including the medal rounds, will be played. So that I'll be staying in Tokyo and just commuting back and forth to Yokohama Stadium. I'll also be part of our baseball coverage that starts next week as well, and then doing sports desk. So doing a bunch of different stories. In fact, I'm working on a story right now with Olympic moms.
Aww.
And the grants that have been raised, the money that's been raised, the fact that so many of these moms do not have their children here, can't have their children here, how hard that is.
Right.
I talked with a mom yesterday that she's on day 75 of not seeing her two baby girls, and just a sacrifice that's being made by husbands at home. And that's the difference, right? I mean, you agree to do the Olympic Games, obviously, for your own goals and your team goals, but you think about how cool it would be to have your kids in the stands cheering on their moms, right?
Right.
We're seeing more Olympic moms than we ever have seen before, and I think that is a huge testament to the amount of support that's finally happening from sponsors, you know, from, you know, the national governing bodies to support these women that want to have children and also play in the Olympics.
Well, and it goes back to really the 96 games when there was such a incredible groundswell of support, but also success among women's sports. And then it continued, and it's continued in soccer, in softball, in basketball, of course. And the expectations, that to me indicates how far we've come. The expectations for Team USA in every women's sport are so high. Again, just as they are for softball, it's a testament to really how far these programs have come, but also the fact that the USA is on the front lines in making sure women have what they need to be able to compete the highest level.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, this is a part of our life. And I remember in 2008, we had three moms on the team, Lisa Fernandez, Jenny Finch, and Stacey Neuvman. And to have those kids, you know, be with us on the bus and around the team, I mean, that's the full, like, gamut of being a female, you know, is also being able to support. And to be honest, the support, you know, even then wasn't very strong. I mean, it was figuring out a way. I remember Jenny had a motorhome following us that her uncle drove and was able to have, like, her son, because there wasn't a lot of support for, you know, her caregivers and everything that she would need to be with us. And it was just an interesting time. And now, you know, Allison Felix has partnered with Athleta and the Women's Sports Foundation, $200,000 given in grant money already this Olympics to Olympic moms, and the support system that goes in place to be able to have these kids, you know, and still live out your dreams.
Amazing. You can follow Jess on Twitter at Jess Mendoza. There's some really cool pictures from her first couple of days there covering softball. I've already seen you on TV, by the way. So I have NBC Sports Network up in my studio. And I said to my producer a couple of minutes ago, oh, wait, there's Jess. I just saw her on TV. So that's awesome that you get a chance to do that and to be part of this Olympic run for softball and baseball. But thank you so much for a few minutes. I'm sure you're busy. Enjoy the countryside as it's flying by.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna enjoy that and much more. It's pretty cool to be here, and I'm glad it's showing up at home. But definitely support our women, all of them, you know, it's and the men, all of our athletes. But it's pretty cool to see a lot of the storylines and everything that's going to unfold, especially the opening ceremonies right around the corner.
Awesome. Well, you're welcome anytime to talk about softball and talk about the Olympics, Jess.
Thanks, Amy.
I am just so neat. It's awesome to be able to connect with anyone from across the world, but to be able to talk to Jess, because the Olympic experience has meant so much to her, and it's part of her story. It's part of the story that she tells when she speaks to people. She mentioned touring and taking her medal with her. And she makes a great point. The support needs to be there, because if you are a woman and you want to be married and have a family, this is a real challenge to be able to stay at the highest level of your sport, but also devote that time to your family. And the stigmatism around women in sports is changing. It's great. There's nothing wrong with doing it all, and women can do it all. And so I'm glad to know that there is support. There's financial support, but also there's the support of families and of the, you know, the media world's part of it to highlight their stories, but to recognize that it can be done. Really, it can be done. Isn't that what Giannis said? It can be done. You can have it. You can believe it. It can be done. Awesome to connect with Jess. A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter, also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you along with us. A little bit late, but she was definitely worth it. That was so amazing, live from Tokyo.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Seattle Kraken select from the Nashville Predators. Marshawn, take it away.
See, so with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
You heard it from him directly.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is the first pick, right? Wait, this is the very first pick? Where am I? What is this? What am I doing here? Marshawn Lynch is never dull. That is one thing you can say about the longtime NFL running back. The man always brings his own style and flair, not necessarily on purpose.
Yeah, what's going on, boss man?
Was that when he talked to Dr. Fauci?
Did you understand anything I just said?
He gets invited to be part of the Seattle Kraken expansion draft, which happens on Wednesday night. It's on national TV. It's this big deal for the Seattle fan base that's waiting to get a pro sports team back. It doesn't replace the Supersonics, but they've been really excited. Remember our friend from Seattle, Mike Ferrari, who is with the ABC network there. He told us that within hours of putting tickets on sale, they had sold out their season ticket allotment going back, I think it's a couple years now. And so here is Marshawn Lynch, who gets invited to be part of this monumentous occasion for the Seattle Kraken. And he says, wait, this is the first pick, right? Wait, can we hear it again? We have to.
The Seattle Kraken select from the Nashville Predators. Marshawn, take it away.
Let's see, so with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
You heard it from him directly.
He's so down to earth. I mean, the man doesn't, he doesn't have any pretentiousness to him at all. Maybe he just wanted to be sure. Could you imagine? Now, that's the kind of thing that would embarrass me to death. Like, if I did something like that, but he's just comfortable in his own skin. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Marshawn Lynch and the Seattle Kraken partnering for this expansion draft. And yes, the first pick on Sportsnet. The Kraken drafted 30 in their big activity, their big event on Wednesday. And it was interesting to see who they ended up selecting from the various teams, players who were unprotected. Some free agents, and will have the chance to either go there or go elsewhere. But names that you'll know from the recent postseason run. How about Jordan Eberle of the Islanders? He was selected by the Kraken.
Hey, Kraken fans, Jordan Eberle here. Super excited to be a part of the new team. Love the passion the fans are bringing here, and excited to bring my family and hopefully some wins here.
So on Twitter, Eberle sends his initial message to the Kraken fans. And you can imagine that there will be a lot of passion for the team. Certainly, if you hold the Golden Knights up as a standard. Now, a little bit different because Las Vegas did not have another professional sports team in any of the big four, right? So doesn't have, although I guess in some cases the Seattle Mariners don't always operate like a professional team. They are this season, but it's been a long time. What, since 2001, right, that they've made the playoffs? It's been a very long drought for the Seattle Mariners, if I remember correctly. So the Mariners are there, and of course they had the Supersonics, whereas Vegas was getting its first of the Big Four with the Golden Knights. But the fans showed up with such fire and passion and intensity, and it's not waned. Here are the Kraken. They become the NHL's 32nd franchise. They'll start play this season. They take 30 players. No side deals or trades that have been announced, at least to this point. Maybe a little bit different from what Vegas did initially. But they have $30 million in cap space, and they are expected to make some moves in the next few weeks. And then there's the NHL's entry draft coming up in late July. The chance for the Kraken to fill their roster with some guys who are veterans who bring either championship experience or postseason experience. And that was so critical for the Golden Knights. You think about some of the guys that they brought on board. The first one that comes to mind is Marc-Andre Fleury. Multiple cups to his name with the Penguins. And how important he was in that inaugural season for the Knights when they went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Ron Francis is the GM of the NHL's brand new team.
Our staff has just been incredible. Everything they've done from, you know, naming our stuff to our brand launch to today's event. The weather couldn't have been any more perfect, and the backdrop was outstanding with all the boats in the water and the people in the stands. So very proud to be a part of today.
He did say they had a theme in mind. They were focusing on defense in this expansion draft.
Well, I don't think it hurts when you got big guys that can skate, especially in today's game. It makes it a little tougher for guys to get to the net. And, you know, we feel comfortable, really excited that the two of those guys were free agents and chose to come with us during this window rather than wait and talk to all the teams in the National Hockey League on the 28th. So it says a lot about what we're trying to build here. And you saw some of that today with the enthusiasm in our fans and the beauty of our city.
On NHL Network, Ron Francis. I can imagine there's a bit of a sigh of relief now that the expansion draft is done. Worth noting, though, in addition to going with guys who can play defense and potentially be strong two-way players for the new expansion team, there were a lot of guys that were left unprotected by their respective clubs that would have cost more money that the Kraken did not go after. So the salary cap, now we've talked about this a ton in the NFL, right? Where the salary cap actually dipped this year because of not just the loss of revenue with so few fans in the stands last year, but also the fact that they haven't tapped into that new broadcast money. So the NFL salary cap dips. We saw a lot of one-year deals for veteran players that could have been making a lot more money had this been a typical free agent period. The cap is expected to rebound in a dramatic way in 22, but teams have to be economical. They have to figure out how to fit under the cap, and so they had to be creative with their deals, and there are a lot of veterans who are left without homes or who accepted less money than what they would have otherwise. Now, back to Seattle and the Kraken. The salary cap for the NHL also remained flat this season. There are teams in the same boat. They don't have extra money to spend. In fact, they have to shed salary. So think, say, Atlanta Falcons, right? We talked about the trade with Julio Jones and why they decided they had to do it. One big reason is because they had to cut a chunk of salary. And the only way to do that was to trade away or to get rid of one of their players that was making a lot of money. The Kraken are starting fresh, but they're under the same salary cap crunch. And so they do not choose Canadiens goalie Carey Price or Vladimir Tarasenko from the Blues. PK Subban was also available. A couple of forwards from the Nashville Predators. James Van Riemsdyk as well left available. He's with the Flyers. Adam Henrique of the Ducks. So big names. Guys that you could imagine would not only put butts in the seats, but provide a real buzz and bring instant credibility to your locker room. But Seattle passed on these guys because it wasn't going to fit their budget. And so it's a very real financial. There's financial constrictions. That's not exactly what I was trying to say. There's a very real financial picture from sports, from pro sports, really in every sport, that is kind of a snapshot of what many companies and businesses are dealing with in every other industry. I'm excited for the Seattle sports fans. That's really cool. To get this new team, to have a new franchise to support, and to no longer feel like they've been left high and dry without a winter sport. So super cool. And as we've talked about, the NHL draft is on the horizon. The NBA draft is on the horizon. It's coming up next week. They don't typically get as much attention as the NFL draft for obvious reasons. But yeah, as soon as the Stanley Cup is handed out, the Larry O'Brien trophy is slobbered all over, it's on to the next. 855-212-4227. I'm glad you liked my conversation with Jessica Mendoza. Me too. She's awesome. And live from Tokyo, we'll have another guest live from Tokyo on our next show. He actually comes from the news side. So Steve Futterman is a longtime friend of mine, but also one of my favorite news reporters. Been listening to him for years because I'm a news junkie, and radio is usually where I get my news. And I've been listening to Steve forever. Finally had a chance to meet him. We crossed paths at an event, I don't know, a few years ago. And since then, we've kept in touch on social media and now and then texting. And he's in Tokyo and has agreed to come on the show to kind of set the scene with us going into Friday and the opening ceremony. So it'll be 3:20 in the afternoon in Tokyo when Steve joins us. For us, it will be 11:20 Pacific time, 2:20 Eastern time on our final show of the week. So this Tokyo presence is amazing. I'm loving it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Booker, who takes a three, no good. Tucker with the rebound. The Suns are not going to foul. It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Let the celebration begin.
You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight. And I'm a freaking champion. I made them and I'm supposed to make them. You know, but I'm joking. Actually, I'm not, but yeah, just believe, man. It can be done.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
Not going to get old. Not for you, Bucks fans, Wisconsin sports fans. And I was so pleased to see many of you respond on my Twitter or my Facebook and say how much you love Giannis, how much you admire him, how much he inspires, but also how you think he's great for the NBA and you're really happy for him. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's not just him, obviously a team sport, but he carries that banner and serves as this perfect ambassador for the NBA. He's got the African heritage, the Greek roots. He's a physical specimen unlike you rarely see in the NBA with his size, but also his strength and his ability to pour in 50. He and Shaq are different body types, but when was the last time we saw a big man who could impact a game like this? Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon, another one that comes to mind. And with two MVPs, now a finals MVP, a trophy, the Larry O'Brien trophy being the most important, and of course, the Defensive Player of the Year honors, he is in very elite company. And yet, he takes it all in stride, and he's funny, and he's engaging, and he's entertaining, and he's special. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, Ted Davis, with the call of the Milwaukee Bucks ending a 50-year drought and winning their first title since 1971. Producer Dave and I were speaking about it on Wednesday because we want to have a special piece of production done to mark this occasion for the Bucks. We do a lot for our champions. We have one for the Dodgers from last October. So we're going to work with our production director. We were talking about different pieces of audio to give him. So, of course, the final call, because that is the moment, but also some of Giannis and the fact that he was just so excited that you got to see a different side of him, right? So we're freaking champions. And giving his critics a little what because he made his free throws. And actually, it wasn't just in game six. He shot his free throws at a much higher rate during these playoffs, especially the last two series, than he did in the regular season when he wasn't even hitting 56% of his shots from the charity stripe. So yay for Giannis and yay for the NBA being done so that I can focus on what else is out there in sports. It's After Hours on Facebook, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227.
And I'm a freaking champion.
855-212-4CBS. Speaking of champions, there is a very real possibility that the U.S. will have a champion in women's high jump. Vashti Cunningham, who is the daughter of Randall, former all-pro quarterback and really meant a lot to both the Eagles and Vikings franchises. He is also her coach, so he will be going to Tokyo with her. We've been trying to get a conversation recorded with Vashti for a couple of weeks now and thought we had it last week. She had a personal issue crop up at the last second, but earlier on Wednesday, I connected with her in Las Vegas, which is where she's from. It's where she's training before she departs for Tokyo. You will love this young woman. She's poised. She's funny. She's candid. And of course she's got a famous family with a lot of professional athletes. And you'll hear that conversation about family and faith and also her focus going into what will be her second Olympics, though her first one was Rio when she was a teenager. Vashti Cunningham, top of the hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Paul, who's in Charlotte. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, thanks so much for taking my call. Your show is always like a ray of warm sunshine, even on the darkest, coldest night. So
thank you, sir.
I appreciate all you do. But I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, about a quarter mile from the Charlotte Speedway and about a quarter mile from the Hendrick Motorsports Complex. Mm-hmm. My wife and my girls are all loyal members of the Chase Elliott Army. But I just had a quick story to tell you about why I love sports. And this is a really cool story that has to go from minor league baseball all the way to the Olympics. But Kannapolis, North Carolina, not too far away, has a minor league baseball team. They just changed their name to the Kannapolis Cannonballers, but they used to be called the Kannapolis Intimidators. They're the low single A affiliate. They're the low single A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, and Dale Earnhardt actually owned the team for a very, very short while before he passed away. But anyways, they had a player that started out in Kannapolis by the name of Eddie Alvarez. Now, Eddie Alvarez was an Olympic speed skater. He won a silver medal in Olympic speed skating. He decided to try to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So he played for the Kannapolis Intimidators for a while, then moved around in the Chicago White Sox system. Then he played for our AAA team in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Charlotte Knights, which probably has the most beautiful minor league stadium in all of minor league baseball, if I dare say so myself. But just saw yesterday on television that Eddie Alvarez, who's the descendant of, or his parents were Cuban immigrants, is going to carry the flag for American baseball.
Well, not just
whenever the American baseball team marches into any kind of stadium or anything, Eddie Alvarez is going to carry the flag. And I just think that's from Cuban immigrant to Olympic speed skater to minor league baseball player to Olympic flag bearer. I just think that's a really cool story.
It's amazing. And I'm glad you brought it up. I actually that's on my list of things to talk about because Sue Bird and Eddie Alvarez they've been called on to carry the flag and what is an incredible honor every time the Olympics come around. It's a very selective process and they're looking for athletes who represent the Olympic spirit, but also who have this incredible story to tell. And you're right. I mean, Sue is a four-time gold medalist, and she's 40 years old, so her story is unique. And then, as you highlight with Eddie, he won a silver medal in speed skating going back to the 2014 Winter Games, and then has changed his sport and is now in the Marlins farm system. And so this is the opportunity that countries have to name two flag bearers. Actually, the IOC changed its policy to allow more than one last year, and so it's a really cool honor for both of these athletes. Thank you for sharing that with us, Paul. That's awesome.
Oh, always love the show and listen every night, and I'll keep calling in.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
Good to talk with you in Charlotte. 855-212-4227. Look at that, Paul doing my job for me. Alvarez made his major league debut with the Marlins, but he's been in the minors this year in 2021. Get this. This is a really cool nerd alert. You know me and my nerd alerts. There'll be plenty for the Olympics, even as we are just about to launch forward with the opening ceremonies on Friday. If the U.S. baseball team medals in Tokyo, he would be only the third American to medal in both the winter and summer games. Eddie Egan, boxing and bobsled. Lauren Williams, track and field and bobsled. Eddie Alvarez could become the third member of what is a very short list. But how about that? I mean, to have the ability, the athletic ability, but also the intellectual capacity to learn a brand new sport and to do it at a high enough level that not only are you competing at the professional level in your country, but you're also able to join this very select group, right? I mean, these are the best of the best who want to be part of Team USA. And so he is kicking around the minors, but he has the opportunity to represent Team USA. And because of his unique story and because of the opportunity in front of him, he's also been selected as one of the flag bearers for the opening ceremonies. He said, and I do love this because of my ties to Cuba and because of my Cuban family, being a first-generation Cuban-American, my story represents the American dream. My family has sacrificed so much for me to have the opportunity to wave this flag proudly. I love that. I will be rooting for him and for Sue Bird and for all of Team USA as they enter the stadium on Friday. Coming up next, Vashti Cunningham in Vegas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.